If you could just look at the title, title is so grand and powerful. Behold, which means look. Look at the Lamb of God. Okay, what do you look at during weekly life? We always look at something. Okay, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of this world. Last night I was flying back to New York, and in the plane I had a chance to see a movie, The Case for Christ. For those of you who haven't seen this movie, you got to watch this movie. It's excellent. Okay, and it just brought me into tears because Lee Strobel, this is based on true story, Lee Strobel, one of the leading apologists of our century, I think, you know, he was a hotshot journalist for Chicago Tribune, graduated from top school, and he had a law degree from very, very good school. I forgot which school. It might have been Brown University. Law degree. And basically, his wife, for a one reason or another, I don't want to break, ruin your movie, she becomes a Christian. And he is so mad because he feels like he's losing his wife. Okay, love of my life. There's that line in that movie, you and you only, I love you. It was a little, yeah, you and you only, right? And then his wife finds new love of his life, Jesus. So this brilliant guy decided to prove something, which is prove that Christianity is not factual. Okay, it's mystical. Okay, so a journalist who write articles and reports based on truth, and he's an atheist. He keeps saying, I only believe in facts, what I could see, what I could feel, what I can touch, facts. So he does this extensive research, which is what the book became, The Case for Christ. And he wanted to prove that this whole Christianity deal is phony, okay, basically, okay? And he spends energy. He goes to see the most renowned archaeologist and research about the manuscripts. He goes see this medical doctor. By the way, the death of Jesus is in the American Medical Association, JAMA. Okay, 19. You could Google it. The death of Jesus Christ is in the Journal of American Medical Association. You know, they just finally got together. Doctors got together. Is this a real thing? Okay? And they got together. And I read it, actually. You should read it, too. You could understand. And it's going to help you. So he goes to the medical doctor. He goes to the archaeologist, psychologist. And the whole movie is trying to prove that Jesus is a myth. Okay? And to make a long story short, at the end, he come to this point. If I want to be an atheist, it takes great leap of faith. And I told you that already. Because we just don't know the origin. And then, if I want to be a Christian, it takes leap of faith as well. But the fact about resurrection and the historicity of person of Jesus and his death, which was proven, and then there are eyewitnesses, over 500 people, 500, I said, okay? Those of you who are in the law field, 500 witnesses, that sounds pretty good, right? Yeah, 500 witnesses at the same time I witnessed resurrected, risen Christ. So death is a historical fact, and there are witnesses, eyewitnesses of people, 500 people, over 500 people, more than 40 days, so many incidences of sin resurrected Christ. So what are you going to do with it? So he had to come to this point where he had to make, you have to take a step of faith. Are you going to be an atheist, which will take a great leap of faith? Or are you going to be a Christian? With this overwhelming, according to Lee Strobel, it's not just a simple evidences, but overwhelming evidences. Can I just give you one thing that was mentioned, and we talked about this a couple years ago? Ancient writings. And there are copies. We call them manuscripts. There is no originals. And a book that was mentioned in that movie, in that book, is Homer's Iliad, okay, which was written 800 BC. And the first copy of Homer's Iliad that we have right now is 1,100 years later. Now think with me. Someone wrote a book 1,100 years ago, and you have a copy. How reliable is that? A million things could have happened, right? So there's something called textual criticism, which means how accurate is this? And it is based on how far since the original have we have the copy manuscript, and how many of them we have, so we could compare and they match. Okay? That's called textual criticism, and this is what the archaeologists do. And the Homer's Iliad, which is almost taken as a Bible for Greek and so many people, right? Basically, 1,100 years apart between the original and the first manuscript. Whereas New Testament, within 30 years. Okay? Homer's Iliad, maybe 60, 70 copies, pieces, fragments. New Testament, over 5,000 manuscripts exist right now, people. Christ is not a myth, people. Over 5,000 fragments of the scripture still existing, and 1960-something, I forgot the cave. Does anybody remember the cave? Yeah, Qumran cave, thank you. Qumran cave. This Muslim boy found this cave, and inside there is almost the entire Bible, okay? And that's 2,000 years later than the first manuscript, and they match. Talking about accuracy, historicity, textual criticism, and reliability of the scripture. I don't have to prove it, but these are some of the facts, not myth, some of the facts about the scripture and Christianity. Not to mention internal amazingness of the prophecies and the fulfillment, right? There are so many things we could talk about. What about the disciples? 12 disciples who saw resurrected Jesus. For the next 40 years, not only they just survived, but they gave their life for the truth of resurrected Christ. If you know history, people give up the truth for them to live. Even though it is true, someone persecutes you and beats you, and you know, like, persecute you, you say, okay, that's not true. And then you live. But for the next 40 years, all 12 disciples, except Judas, of course, they would give their life for one truth of resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? And that Jesus is the Lamb. That's the message of the John's Gospel. Okay? What does Lamb stand for? Right? What does Lamb stand for? Let me go to the text today. Oh. Lamb. That's a lamb. A baby, young sheep. Lamb. This is the Word of God, pre-existent, coexistent, self-existent, who is the origin of life, creator, and he came as a lamb. What a contrast, right? What a starking contrast that is. What an amazing contrast that is. And that lamb is Lamb of God. Okay? And I don't know whether you see it, but this lamb is tied. Do you see the legs? Right? They're tied. Lamb is known, certain traits of lamb are very interesting because Bible says we are all like sheep, so don't get offended. Okay, I'm just talking about sheep, okay? Sheep are not very intelligent animals. Don't get offended, okay? And when you say, I agree. And they are very short-sighted, and they forget things easily. But among other things, the very interesting traits, one of the very interesting traits of sheep is very, very gentle. Okay, even if you take the sheep to the slaughter, it follows. And you tie him up, you don't resist. And we see that in Isaiah 53, by the way. Can you imagine God of the universe, the Word of God, tied like that? Why? It is alive right now. I don't know whether you could see it. You can see his eyes. Okay, it is alive, ready to be slain. We just sang it, ready to be slain. Usually, not to be too graphic or anything, but neck is cut right here from the top. You could see this on YouTube, actually. And imagine the Word of God, right? Pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent God of the universe came as a lamb to be slain. That's Lamb of God. That's the Christian message, people. That's the difference between Christianity and everything else. I don't care what it is. Seriously, I'm not trying to be cocky, but everything else, that's the difference. Everything else, you try and you can't do it, so you feel either guilty or proud. You may feel proud outside, but inside you are insecure. That's just the reality. Until God brings you to that point, you'll always feel insecure. You'll feel guilty. We just talked about that, right? Guilt. He takes away the guilt. I just looked up that word in my break. Aro, which means lift up the burden. Can I ask you, who's willing to do that? Take up your burden, your garbage, your mess, your baggage. How many of you have baggage? I don't like that word, but I think that is appropriate. We have baggages that we're carrying, whether it is from my growing up years, whether it is from relationships, whether it is from just sinful way of living. You have baggages that you will not want to openly talk about. But it stays with you, right? Baggages you carry. Baggages. In that movie, The Case for Christ, by the way, I thought it was so interesting. I don't mean to bring this up, but Lee Strobel had a terrible relationship with his father. And he goes to see a psychologist, a really, really famous non-Christian psychologist. And basically, he tried to prove that those 500 people who have seen the resurrected Christ, that was hallucination. That's hallucination theory. Okay, that was hallucination. And then this famous lady psychologist basically tells him, you know, for 500 people to independently hallucinate, if they could do that, that's a greater miracle than resurrection itself. Okay? And then he was walking out and he says, oh, excuse me. By the way, what is your relationship with your father like? In the movie. He says, it's not the greatest. Oh, by the way, you know, if you look at history, Humes, Freud, Nietzsche, all these atheist cynicals, they had a terrible relationship with their father. It's called father wounds. And they don't want to believe. They refuse to believe. I thought that was really interesting. Who takes that baggage from you? Jesus can lift up, literally lift up that baggage from you. How many of you believe that? Can you say amen if you do believe it? I really do believe it, because there are so many broken people with father's wounds. Okay? And you become a mother and a father with father's wound. That's horrible, isn't it? You become a mother and father with bitter feeling towards your own parent. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? It's a horrible thing. But that's the world. And there is the Lamb who takes that burden, sin of the world. Not to mention everything else. We could talk about anger. How many of you are angry? Don't say it, man. I know some of you are angry. I could tell. Right? We spill a little bit of water and you get angry. Not that amount, but exaggerated amount. Why? Because it is in you. It is you. Right? But he takes away that sin and anger upon him. And he went to the cross and he was slain so that that anger may be propitiated, may be atoned, may be forgiven. Isn't that what we are believing? Okay, so let me go to today's text. I'm going to just jump right to verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, look, see, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And only in John's gospel this is written. "And this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me." John the Baptist is older, but he's before me. He's ranked so high. Verse 31, "I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came to baptize him with water." In other words, John the Baptist, his ministry and baptizing is for this purpose, that Jesus might be revealed to Israel. Right? What do you baptize? You know, what do you baptize? Remember, we talked about this last week, and he would not answer. But now he answers, next day. "Okay, for this purpose, I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." Verse 32, "And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove." What is he talking about? Baptism of Jesus, right? Which is not directly recorded in John's gospel, but he's recalling it, witnessing it. "I saw the Spirit of descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize," that's God, right? Sent by God to baptize, "with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Okay? And verse 34, the conclusion of his message and his life, "And I have seen and I have bore witness that this is the Son of God." Okay, we talked about John the Baptist last week. Why John the Baptist's witness is the beginning of John's gospel? Same name? No, I don't think that's what it is. John the Baptist, John, no. Why John the Baptist? I think it is because of the message that he carried. And what was the role of John the Baptist? Three things. Number one, prepare the hearts of the people. How did he do that? "You need to repent because kingdom is near. Kingdom is near. Based on your allegiance to the kingdom, you are in trouble. That's why you need to turn around and come back and repent." And you know what? So many people repented. The imminent coming of the king. Can you imagine another kingdom comes tomorrow, okay? And it's powerful kingdom. And if it is true, if you don't have allegiance with the kingdom, all of you are in trouble. And that's what he did. Repent, for the kingdom, king is near. And basically that is the true message of the gospel itself as well. The king may return anytime, people. King may return anytime. Second thing he did was he identified Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. So many people don't. So many churches don't, it feels like. They don't. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Word of God. Pre-existent, co-existent, self-existent, the giver of life. And people don't recognize that. So John the Baptist's ministry prepared, identified, and the third, and I think this is the most important thing, is pointing toward Jesus. "Behold, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And as I was thinking about this this week, as I was moving around, I think that's exactly what the message of church needs to be. Prepare the hearts of the people. Kingdom is near, people. Church is not about for your prosperity. No, no. Kingdom is to prepare you for the coming of the king. Okay? Secondly, I think we need to identify Jesus correctly, accurately, and tells you he is God and he is man. Okay? And the third and lastly, very important thing, don't follow this church, follow Christ through the church. I think that's very, very important. That ought to be the ministry of the church, And my prayer is that that's my ministry as well in my life. Prepare you. At the end, will you have Jesus? So many people do, and then there are so many people don't. That's my witness. It's not everybody, people. It is not meant for everybody. Only those, God gives you grace, right? He wants to, but people resist. People just don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. I need to prepare you, and I need to identify and accurately proclaim and tell, and then to point to Jesus. Hey, listen, the reason you need to go to school, youth group, is to make a lot of money? No. No. Nothing wrong with making a lot of money, but that can't be the pointer. That can't be the conclusive reason why you should study, right? Point, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, so today's message, I want to just share this one verse. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the message. I'm gonna ask you to behold. Look. Look, because if you don't, you're going to say foolish things in your life. You're going to follow foolish things in your life. And my plan is three things. Number one, Lamb of God. Number two, takes away your sin. Number three, of the world. Okay, simple plan. So let me begin. What is the Lamb of God? What signifies the Lamb of God? Right here. Okay. What signifies the Lamb of God? Lamb of God, referring to young sheep, right away points toward the Old Testament sacrifice for atonement. People knew exactly what it is, and you know. Okay? Okay? Old Testament sacrifice. And the second thing that we need to remember is the Passover. Remember Passover? So it was the blood of the lamb. It was the animal sacrifice of Old Testament sacrifice. Sacrifice, or the sacrificial system, really is the grace of God. I want to remind you. Why? Because this is the premise. This is the theory. If someone else dies, you're good. Does that make sense? If someone else dies, you'll be forgiven. You'll be atoned. That's a grace, isn't it? You killed, you your crime, your sin, your offense, you need to be punished. You need to be put to death. You need to be put to death, but someone else could do it. Right? That's the premise. And therefore, it is the grace of God, and it was the blood of the Lamb that bring peace with God and you. Okay? So, it was by an animal, such as a lamb, dies in place of you, on behalf of you, as a substitute of you. That's what lamb signifies. Lamb needs to die. That's what lamb signifies. How do you like that? Jesus came as a lamb, which means he came to die. And lamb dies for someone else. Lamb does not die for itself, but lamb dies for someone else. On behalf, in place of, as a substitute. Okay, so lamb signifies dying, it signifies substitute, someone else on behalf of, in place of, and lastly, lamb carries your burdens and sin. Okay, that's what lamb signifies. I do want to mention a little bit about Passover. Do you remember the Passover? Passover is this. Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. God sent Moses, Redeemer, Old Testament Redeemer, to save them out of slavery. And we call that story Old Testament redemption or salvation story. Okay? And Pharaoh, the emperor, king, would not want to give them up. You know, why would you? 2 million slaves, and they do all the dirty works for you. It's man force. Why would you want to give up? So what does God do? God performs 10 miraculous signs. And I'm going to skip all of them. And the last one was what? It's the miracle of death. Okay? This is what the instruction was. Tonight at midnight, I'm going to send, God is speaking to Israelites, I'm going to send angel of death. Okay? And every house, the firstborn, will be killed. Death. Unless you put blood of the lamb upon the doorpost and door frame. And if you put blood on your doorpost and door frame, the angel of death will pass over. That's Passover. Passover. So what is the lamb and the blood signifies? That you have been removed from death to life. That's what signifies. Okay? So, second part really overlaps with all of these. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes the sin of the world. I'm going to ask you again. Who takes your craps? I'm going to cover you. Okay? You did this. I'm going to pay for you. You violated a crime. I'm going to pay for you. Who does that? Right? How about a little bit more? You offended someone. You hurted someone. I'm going to go to jail for you. Can anyone do that? Who's willing to do that? Right? So the whole thing about this Christianity is that sin can be taken away. Your guilt, your condemnation, your judgment, your anger, your father wounds. Okay? It can be taken away. It can be lifted up. Aro, which means it can be taken up. It could be lifted up and put it on himself, and he could go to the cross, and he will be slain as the lamb, so you'll be completely free. Do you get it, people? I don't think people believe this. A lot of people don't believe this. But that's Christian faith. He could lift your father wounds and anger and guilt. I see people living with guilt. Whatever the reason may be. I see people live with lots of anger. You become a mother, you become a father, but angry at your own parent. Does that make sense at all to you? Right? But the incredible message of Christianity is that your sin, your garbage, your crap, your burden can be lifted up. Remember Jesus said, "All you weary and burdened, come to me. I'll give you rest." How is he going to do that? He's going to take away your sin. Okay? Though your sin may be as red as scarlet, it'll be white as snow. Your sin may be taken away, which is a passive work for you. It's not your work. It may be taken away. Passive work. And your sin may be paid for by someone else's death, which is grace. We talked about this, right? How could that be possible? I need to be penalized. I need to pay the price. That's my cost. That I need to do that. I mean, that's fair. But someone else, a lamb, dies and you're okay? And God, who is omniscient, says it's okay. That's the grace of God. God who doesn't need anything, who knows everything, who knows what you're made up of? He knows what you're made up of. He knows what I am made up of. He does. But he says, you're white as snow. He takes away sin of the world. So I have two questions then. Who's willing to do that? Okay. Who's willing to do that? The second question is, who is able to do that? Who's capable of doing this? Okay, let me do this for you. Can I do that for you? I can't. Mother Teresa can do it for you. Your own mother can do it for you. Your father can do it for you. Billy Graham could do it for you. Nobody could do it. So who is able, who is capable to do so? The second question that I would like to answer it this way. Who is capable of paying the penalty of your sin? Someone else who doesn't have a sin problem. If he does, he needs to deal with his own problem first. He needs to pay his own price first. So if I have a sin problem, I cannot do your sin problem. Okay, because I just have to deal with mine. Someone who has to be sinless, someone without blemish and defect, just like the lamb, right? Who is that? There was only one in history. One in history, people. One person in history. That's God, holy God, man, Jesus, Lamb of God. I want to pause because I know we struggle with absolute truth, right? Some of you do, I don't know. But all truth by nature is exclusive. All truth. Lee Strobel, at the end of the movie, he has an atheist big brother, and then he has a Christian big brother in the movie. So fun. And he has a father wounds, and he's dealing with an incident of corruption. Everything is intertwined together. And it comes to a really, really, it just brought me to tears. But what really, at the end of the movie, really spoke to me was, I need to take the leap of faith. Or I need to take a leap of faith. But I think that non-Christian psychologist saying to him was right. You just don't want to believe it. You don't want to listen. That criminal falsely charged in the movie, the Afro-American person in that movie, and he was beat up in the hospital, and he speaks to Lee Strobel, who is apologizing to him. He says, you just didn't want to hear me. You just didn't want to hear me. There's only one person. All truth by nature is exclusive. Okay? Bible claims there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's man, Christ Jesus. There's no other name that has been given other than the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody can take care of your sin because of their own sin problem. No one can go to the holiness of God because of their own problem. Only one person. That's the Lamb of God. And God himself came as a man to take away your sin. Okay? So only one person capable. Now, second real question is he willing? Would you be willing? Is he willing? Who would possibly willing? Romans chapter 5 says, you know, scarcely even this world, someone may die for a good person. That's rare. But Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, rebels, enemies, and weak, Christ died for the ungodly, and through God has demonstrated his love toward us. Love toward us. In the movie, after he collect all the evidences, the final question was this. If that's true, why would he do it? Why would he do it? And then in the movie, love. Love of God. Love towards you. Why would he do it? Love towards you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, and God has not only he was willing, but he has already demonstrated it, even before you're born. He has already demonstrated. That's the ultimate full of grace and full of truth message. The Lamb was slain for you. For a scum like myself, a little piece of dust like myself. And that's the Christian message. He was not just willing, but rather he desired and he wanted. And he wanted for love for God and love for you. And he himself became a ransom to take away your father wounds and anger, penalty, and your bitterness toward your husband. So many people do have that. You know, so many wives are bitter toward their husband. So many sons are, in that movie, yeah, Lee Strobel. That guy, in the movie he says, that guy never around when I was growing up. Now he wants to be a great friend now that I have a child. Remember the line? Yeah. But it was interesting. All along, the father loved him. And he finds out after he dies. Never mind. That's about the movie. Yeah. Lastly, behold, Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world. Of the world. Could that be that big history? 7 billion people sin, let alone yours, right? And we're not talking about sin that you just committed. He's talking about once and for all sin. Is that even possible? We already established that he's willing and he's capable. But is his capacity that magnificent and huge and big? And Bible answers, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, he is God. And God who laid down his life. You know, I was kind of, I love to do that. I was kind of imagining Jesus as the lamb going to Golgotha. Actually, on Calvary, he's a lamb. He's carrying the cross. There are pictures like that on Google. Okay. And on the cross, his hands and feet are tied by nails. And someone had to slay him. Someone had to slay him. And he was slain. On the cross, he was slain on behalf of you, in place of you, for those who put their faith and life in him, so that you may have life. Isn't that amazing truth, people? Behold, behold. It's not about you going to good school. It's not, it's not. Don't listen to those lies and garbage. It's going to ruin your soul if you continue to listen to those messages. It's going to intoxicate your brain, your way to handle things. It's not that who takes away your sin so that you'll be completely free from that. Is that true? Is that blood of Jesus that powerful? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's the second line? Praise team. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If there is no lamb, there is no life, people. If there is no lamb, there is nothing. Your success in this world is nothing. Nothing. Your fun, your family, everything is nothing. Okay? But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad he came as a lamb rather than a goat or something? I saw mountain goats this week. Reminds me of someone. He came as a lamb, people. And he loves you. What? Why would he do that? He loves you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And God has demonstrated his great, great love for us. Let's pray.